You're listening to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. This week, we've been talking to Democrats running for their party's nomination for governor. Today, we talk to Sri Tanador, an Ann Arbor businessman who is primarily self-funding his campaign. Welcome.
Thank you, Lester.
We've been asking all the candidates about a handful of important issues, so we might as well just get started on the list. First, education. Average student test scores keep going down in Michigan. We're losing ground to other states. How do we do better for our students?
Well, you know me, I grew up in poverty, and education was a ladder for my success. And that ladder is broken for too many Michiganders. And we got to work on that. Because that's where we give skill sets to people to do good for themselves. So certainly we need to invest more in K-12. We need to pay our teachers well. We need to hire more teachers. We need to have more support staff. I want to focus on universal pre-K, so the children in their early childhood. And I have a grandson who is 15 months old. And I can see how the young children learn at their early age. So we need to have a robust learning right at the early age of, say, maybe 15 months to 2 years.
But how do you pay for that?
Well, there is a number of ways we can pay for. I am for recreational marijuana that would generate about $125 million.
Which is not going to go very far to fix the schools.
Yes, yeah. But there's need to be more. I want to do graduated tax structure. Many progressive states, many successful states have graduated tax structure. I want to change the 4.25 flat rate that we have and raise it up. I don't want to raise any taxes for the lower middle income, middle class or lower middle class or the working poor. But the rich, the ultra rich and the corporations should pay their fair share.
That would require a change of the Michigan Constitution. How do you do that? You can't do it as a governor.
I understand. But we will have to have a proposal. And we need to have that voted by the people of Michigan. But I would, lead that. I would support that. You know, Republicans have not invested in our state. They haven't invested in our education. They haven't invested enough into our infrastructure. And we can become the state, the great state that we want to be. We can't take Michigan to the top unless we invest in our people. So I want to bring vocational training, career technical education in middle school and in high schools. I want to make colleges, public universities, tuition free. And I want to start out with making any family that makes $120,000 or less should not have to pay tuition for two-year college or four-year college, community college or public universities.
The state is in good times right now, and we're struggling with, well, we'll talk about roads in a second. We're due for an economic downturn. How are you going to accomplish this if that economic downturn would happen within your first term?
Well, we got to invest. If we don't invest, then we're going to go to the route of Mississippi. And all this trickle-down economics has not worked. And it is time that we generate revenues, whether we go to federal government and get our fair share of revenues to expand, say, 94 or put a new SULAC. There is money that can be had from federal government.
Let's talk about infrastructure, the roads primarily. Despite an increase in the gasoline tax and higher registration fees, the roads are not improving. What would you do about roads, bridges, and other infrastructure?
Well, our roads are a joke. I mean, they are the worst in the nation. The potholes are becoming so downright dangerous. And the other day, I was going to a gubernatorial debate, and I was at Woodward and Jefferson, and my front tire goes flat, and then my second tire goes flat. And I got a tow truck come in, take the car away, and I got an Uber just in time to get at the debate. Michiganders are spending over $500 a year on car repairs. Together, we're spending about $2.5 billion. We got to fix the roads. And again, there, what I would do is municipal bonds, a 30-year statewide municipal bonds. But we need to put somewhere between $4 billion to $6 billion. Every study that I have seen is looking for that kind of investment in our state. I want to change the focus. Snyder, for the last 7 years, has focused on big corporate welfare. We need to work on investing in more small businesses, which create most of our jobs, and get away from the big corporate incentives. I want to make sure that the corporations pay their fair share of taxes.
Let's talk about a real hot debate right now. In the wake of the Parkland, Florida mass shooting, the gun debate has risen to the top of political issues. What's your position on guns?
Well, I'm supportive of Second Amendment, But I would want gun ownership, a responsible gun ownership. What does that mean is that I absolutely want no guns in education institutions. I think it's a bad idea to give guns to the teachers. A teacher's primary job is to teach, and I don't want teachers to be carrying guns. We need to bring better security, use technology to make our schools safer. Invest in our schools so we have safety personnel to provide safeguard. You know, my grandchild, I worry about when he goes to school, you know, or as a parent, you don't want to hear that bad news that something has happened in your son's or your daughter's school. So we need to make our schools safer. But if that means key card access, if that means more security, if that means more technology, we should do that, and we should invest, and we should have the money to invest in K-12 to ensure that our children can learn in a safe environment and our teachers can teach in a safe environment.
Background checks?
Absolutely. We need to have a thorough background checks.
It's also been proposed an assault weapon ban.
I support that.
How do you define assault weapons?
Semi-automatic, anything that
well, there are a lot of hunting rifles out there that are semi-automatic.
We need to look into that, but we don't need any military-style assault weapons for people to go hunting and game and support protecting themselves.
So this AR-15 is used a lot in these mass shootings, but when you look at the statistics, more people die from handguns than these type of military rifles. What would you do about handguns?
We need to keep guns away from things like domestic abusers. If someone has a record of domestic abuse, that person should not get guns.
I guess what I'm asking, if you're wanting to ban assault weapons, why not ban handguns?
Well, we need to take a look at it, but we need to have a dialogue. We need to have a sensible policy here, and we need to balance people's right to own guns and people's right to protect themselves and people's right to do the hunting and game. At the same time, we do not have military-style assault weapons for Second Amendment.
Let's go to this next topic, healthcare. You're in favor of a single-payer system. As governor, how would you accomplish that goal?
Well, the best thing to do is to have it at a national level. And as a governor, I'll use my position to work with the congressional delegation to make that happen at a national level. If that cannot be done, we should expand Medicare. Maybe we can start out with children that are 18 years of old or younger. And
It's still a federal program, though. I mean,
you're
not going to be able to do that at the state level.
It is. But we eventually we need to work on this because, you know, countries that are less fortunate than us are able to take care of health care of their citizens. And United States should be able to do that. People shouldn't have to be worried about their health care. People shouldn't have to worry that if there is a catastrophic illness that they're going to go bankrupt.
I want to talk to you about some unflattering coverage you've been getting from the national media. Let's talk about some of those articles. Several outlets were aghast at a photo you posted of yourself eating Popeye's chicken just before a debate before the Black Caucus. Why did you think that was a good idea?
Well, look, recent polls have shown that this has become a two-person race. And now I am neck and neck with
that. That doesn't answer my question, though.
I know, I will. So basically what I've seen is since I was 3 points ahead in the poll, I started getting these attacks. Look, I eat at Popeye's chicken many times, and I loved spicy chicken. I ate there. I don't see a problem with that. There are some issues.
You can see the optics, though. You know, it's a stereotypical racist type thing that Black people like chicken more than other people.
Well, look, I am not a career politician. Typically, a career politicians spend all their life looking good and being politically right. I live my life. I am what I am. And, you know, as opposed to, you know, we see all the scripted politicians that look good and act good and all that fakeness, and we're tired of it. Michiganders are tired of the career politicians. We need people that can act and make things happen.
Do you regret posting that picture?
No, absolutely not.
The Intercept published two articles about you. One headline read, Michigan gubernatorial candidate brands himself as the Bernie, meaning Bernie Sanders, of the race, but he donated to Clinton and McCain. The second headline read, a Bernie-branded millionaire is leading the Democratic race for governor. He almost ran as a Republican, consultants say. You want to respond to those stories about
yes,
you?
Yes. There's a couple of consultants, Democratic consultants, that I talked to. You know, these people didn't get hired. One got hired and he tried to, we ended up parting ways. And the other guy I did not hire. And these people, because they didn't get my money, started spreading rumors. None of that.
Is it true that you donated to Clinton and McCain?
Yeah, I donated $32,000 to various political candidates because, you know, because I'm a man of wealth, I get calls. And Hillary Clinton's campaign called. And a lot of times these donations are based on an invitation to go to a fundraiser. And this is just a ticket price to go in there. It is not an endorsement of these candidates, but I get a chance to ask questions to the candidates. And these opportunities allow me to do that, so it should not be looked at as an endorsement. But out of the $32,000 that I've donated, I have donated only $2,300 to one Republican candidate, John McCain. Rest of the money was donated to Democrats. And I'm a lifelong Democrat.
Were you considering running as a Republican, as this suggests?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I am, you know, pro-choice. I am strong. My social positions are so strong. I'm a big supporter of LGBTQ community. There is absolutely no way that I could ever run as a Republican.
I'm glad you brought that up about the different causes that you support, because you describe yourself again and again in the videos and ads and stuff as the most progressive of the Democratic candidates. What have you done politically to justify that claim?
Well, you know, I have lived the most progressive life. I grew up in poverty. I'm the only gubernatorial candidate that knows what it feels like going to bed hungry. I did not come from privilege like my opponents have. And I have lived a progressive life. And I have never paid anyone less than $15 an hour when I ran small businesses. And, you know, I've been fair to my employees. I have given them health care. I have given them. So my talk is not just talking points. This is how I have lived. So I understand how Michiganders live. 22% of Michiganders live below poverty line. 40% of African-American children live in poverty, and I have lived that life.
The Detroit News ran a story about you late last month. It reported one of your former employees quit the company that you own because you refused to alert federal regulators to a customer who was suspected of illegally spiking a male herbal supplement with prescription Viagra. That's a pretty serious accusation. What's your response to that?
Well, you know, I'm a private company. I'm just like a psychiatrist or a doctor. So if a patient goes to a psychiatrist and talks about something, the psychiatrist don't go and call police on the patient.
This is a different situation than that, though. This is something that you were analyzing. You were asked to analyze it, and you found that it was spiked with Viagra.
Let me explain that. So when the customer came to me, he had a herbal supplement that he either was manufacturing or he was distributing. I don't know all the details. Or has he sold it? I don't know. So he brings it to me and says, Shri, analyze this and see if you find anything bad in it. My lab did the analysis, and it is my lab that found Viagra in that product. And then we basically told the customer, hey, if you intend to sell this, you cannot, because there are laws about it. One of them are patent laws.
But somebody was making that, and didn't you have an obligation to tell the FDA,
no,
this is being manufactured?
I don't know who is manufacturing that. And basically, I'm a fee-for-service. A customer comes to me. So next time a psychiatrist starts turning his patients
You can mention psychiatrists, but there are guidelines in set. Is there a guideline that says you can't?
Yeah. Nobody in my industry does that. So this accusation was totally wrong. And someone was trying to, again, smear me because I'm up in the polls. But our industry, testing industry, this is a fee for service. A client comes to you, gets things analyzed. You report that to the client and you do an analysis that's accurate. And you're totally transparent with the customer. And we told the customer that this would be illegal if you chose to sell this. But I do not know if he's selling it. I do not know if he's manufacturing it. All the customer asked me to do is find out what's in it, and I found that out. I told him, And then I expect the mom to do the right thing. I expect this customer to do the right thing. But I did tell them that it's illegal for them to sell it.
You've mentioned several times now that you feel you're being smeared because you're up in the polls. Who do you think is smearing you?
I don't know. Some cases I haven't seen other candidates have published or put together flyers with their paid for by. Some cases there are text messages that have been sent out smearing me. And,
isn't that part of the rough and tumble of political life?
It is part of that. And I'm tough. And so when I entered this race, I told my family, this is going to get rough. Fasten your seat belts. I have a thick enough skin that I don't need to wake up at 3 a.m. and tweet. But, I understand that. I expect that. But, I'm trying to run an issue-based campaign. I just announced put on television seven new commercials.
Right. You're spending $1 million in the next 60 days.
Exactly. But every of that commercial, if you look at it, is issue-based. I could have used the same money to attack my opponents, but I chose not to because I'm running a clean campaign. And, I am in politics not because this is what I need to make my resume look good. I'm very proud of my resume. I'm doing this because I want to change Michigan. I want to, take Michigan to the next level. And so I won't be worried about my reelection. I won't be worried about anything. Only thing I'll be worried about is doing the right thing. And for that, I have taken a pledge not to take a single penny from corporate special interests. And so I'll go there beholden to no one except the people of Michigan.
Sri Tanadar is running for the Democratic nomination for governor of Michigan. Thanks for coming in again.
You're welcome, Lester. Thanks for inviting me.